Good morning, everyone. How's everybody doing? Wasn't this song service beautiful? Oh my gosh, God is so good. This morning, I want to pray. Let me do that. Father, we just come before you this morning. We ask for your Holy Spirit to rule and reign. We give you full permission in this place this morning. We give you full permission to touch our very heart, soul, and mind. Father God, we give you glory for all the things that you are doing for your children in this hour. We know that you are faithful. We know that you have done all that you said you would do for us, and there is more to come. And Father, we're just so grateful and thankful to be your children. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. This morning, I want to open up to read an article released by CBN News Faith Nation. And this is back from August of 2020. So it's fairly new, but I want you to understand this article based off of the topic that I will be speaking about this morning. So Dr. George Barna conducted a survey, and this is what he found. The survey, found that roughly half, which is 51%, of American adults have a traditional biblical view of God as the all-powerful, all-knowing creator, a dramatic decrease from 73% in 1991. So something is changing. Of those who believe in Jesus, more say he sinned than didn't. 44% believed he sinned. 41% believe he did not. And more people believe in Satan, which is 56%, than they believe in God. George Barna, Director of Research at the Cultural Research Center at Arizona Christian University and founder of the Barna Group, writes, "Tens of millions of Americans consider themselves to be Christian, but do not believe that God is really in control or cares what happens to them." You know, God being in control has been in the atmosphere, and this was not intentional. This is really what he had found. Okay, so what does this mean? Something's a little off, right, with the body of Christ. We know certain things are going to happen in the world. But to get this information, 56% of people believe in Satan more than they believe in God. And people who call themselves Christians do not believe that God is really in control or cares about them is very interesting. So 1 John 2:18 says, "Children, it is the last hour, and as you have heard, that Antichrist is coming. So now many Antichrists have come. Therefore, we know that it is the last hour." This morning, I want to talk to you about the Antichrist spirit. As you can see, the Antichrist spirit is gaining power in the world and in the church. 2 John 1:7 says, "For many deceivers have gone out into the world, those who do not confess the coming of Jesus Christ in the flesh. Such a one is the deceiver and the Antichrist." What is the Antichrist spirit? Anti means opposed to, against, dead set against, hostile, unsympathetic, antagonist, against the spirit of Christ. An antagonist is a person who actively opposes or is hostile to someone or something. They are working hard against the spirit of Christ. They are the adversary. Okay. They are the opposition. They are the competitor. They are the foe. So I want to share something with you that happened to me not too long ago. There was a post that was posted on Facebook that caught my attention. And I said, I was reading the bullets. And I said, this is going to be interesting to share with the body. Not the body, but the world, because basically it was about why Christians do what they do. Okay. So the more that I started reading this post. It had different, it was like a PowerPoint, had different topics and different bullets. Okay. Bullets is each point to that topic. So I was reading these bullets and I said, wow, like, now's a good time to bring the world into the truth. But the more I read it, the more I said, I understand why the world feels the way that they do, right? So I got excited, put a message out on Facebook in the middle of the morning, okay? Dropped it at 1 o'clock in the morning, and I went to bed. I was tired, and I woke up the next morning driving into work, and I wanted to listen to the message, and I realized that I didn't put a piece in the message that I really wanted to put a piece in there too. So I said, I'm going to take this down. But all day long, my spirit was just not right. It was just like there was a check in my spirit. So I go to work and I normally do my normal thing at work, which is put my ears in, listen to music, listen to strong believers in Christ that preach, you know, the messages and things like that. And all day long in my feed, it was messages about how we can't compromise the word. And I was like, right, right. So make a long story short, God put it in my spirit the last time that I spoke to you all here in the Lighthouse Church, as far as to this church, we were talking about the joy of the Lord. And God reminded me that the saints are under attack, right? So I said, right. And he said, you have to understand, if you take this project on, you're going to have to come from a perspective that Christians are being attacked. You can't compromise the word of God. You can't deny the power of God, right? So I said, God, you know me so well, because my heart and my desire is for all unbelievers to know the truth. But what do? We try to sympathize and say, well, I get it. You know, we do kind of go overboard. And God was like, you can't do that. There's a purpose and there's a reason why we do what we do. So 1 John 2:22 says, who is the liar but he who denies that Jesus is the Christ? This is the Antichrist, he who denies the Father and the Son. Now, we as believers, we know that Jesus is the way. We know that he's the truth and the life. We know that no one comes to the Father except through him. The Antichrist spirit would say that's not true. There's many paths to God. As we as believers know that God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. The Antichrist spirit would say hell is not real and heaven is not real. You can live however you want to live and God will not judge you. We as believers, we know that we are set apart by God. We know that God has called us out of the world into his glorious light. And the Antichrist spirit hates us for that. Like, he hates us because we have decided to answer the calling, right? So we know this. We know all of this. But what we don't know is when the Antichrist spirit has attached itself to us as the body of believers. So this is what I want to talk about this morning. We deal with Antichrist spirits often, and we don't recognize it because there is a mentality, there is behaviors, learned behaviors, and certain things that we learn maybe as a small child or around others. And we may think, oh, this is cool, I'm going to copy that. But when in fact, it's not really God, right? So we adopt these things, and this is not something that God wants us to do. Now, this is coming from a person that had the Antichrist spirit. And it came in so many forms, and it was just absolutely ridiculous. Now, the Antichrist spirit ties every ungodly spirit together, okay? Every spirit that is not of God falls under the system of the Antichrist spirit. So, do y'all understand that that means that any spirit that opposes God, it doesn't matter if it's lust. It doesn't matter if it's a Jezebel spirit. You know, any spirit that opposes itself against God is a part of this Antichrist system. So I found an article that I want to read to you all that is spot on about this Antichrist spirit. And this is from The Burning Ones. Okay. One of the greatest deceptions that the devil ever brought forth was convincing the church that the Antichrist spirit is not operating today. Spirits of the Antichrist are at work, and great delusion is coming forth from them to the church. Think about what I just read about that survey that tens and millions of people are Christians, but they don't believe that God is in control. You know, so it's a lot that has shifted. The people's faith is waning. Okay. The spirits of the Antichrist are at work, and great delusion is coming forth from them to the church. Doctrines, teaching, and lifestyles that are against Christ and his word are currently being accepted and celebrated by many in the church. The spirits of the Antichrist have crept into the church by first deceiving leaders. Once a leader or public figure is deceived, these spirits spread mindsets that are against Christ to believers. Now, mindsets deal with your attitude, the way you think, your mentality, your character. Mindsets have everything to do with your behavior. Now, 1 John 4:1-3 says, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God, and every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard was coming and is now already in the world." The Antichrist spirit is responsible for the great falling away of believers that have already begun in 2 Thessalonians 2:3. You all know that the body of Christ has gone through this, right? We're still going through this. And the falling away will be from Christ to the Antichrist. There is one man who will be the Antichrist, but John states that the Antichrist spirit is already working in the world. The goal of the spirit is to trap a believer in so much deception that they do not see Christ anymore and eventually turn from him. Now, we're all leaders in here, right? We're all leaders. When you lead, you're showing people the way. You're the head. You're the chief. You are in charge. You are to guide, usher, and shepherd the people. This is the true definition of what leads means, or what lead means. If we don't have the mind of Christ, chances are we are leading in our own will, in our own knowledge, therefore leaving the Antichrist spirit room to attach itself to us. If you don't believe that the Antichrist spirit cannot attach itself to a believer, ask Peter. Ask Peter. What do I mean about this? Why did Jesus have to rebuke Peter? Why did Jesus have to look him dead in his eyes and say, "Satan, get thee behind me"? Why did Peter deny Jesus, right? So let's go to Matthew 16:21. Verse 21 says, "From that time on, Jesus began to show his disciples clearly that he must go to Jerusalem and endure many things at the hands of the elders and the chief priests and scribes." This is the Sanhedrin and the Jewish high court. "And be killed and be raised from death to life on the third day." Now, this scripture is basically saying that Jesus was sharing his heart with his disciples. He basically was telling them this must take place. He was allowing for them to enter into revelation knowledge or what have you. And he was getting them prepared for what was going to take place. So what happens here? Verse 22 says, Peter took him aside to speak to him privately and began to reprimand him, saying, may God forbid it. This will never happen to you. But Jesus turned to him to say and said to Peter, get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me, for you are not setting your mind on things of God, but on things of man. And what happens to Peter shortly? He denies Christ. So what is the Antichrist spirit? Any spirit that is against the spirit of God, the spirit of truth. So 1 John, once again, 2:22 says, who is the liar but he who denies that Jesus is the Christ? This is the Antichrist. He who denies the Father and the Son. Now, Peter was a disciple. He followed Jesus. He hung out with Jesus. He saw the miracles that Jesus performed, but yet he was carrying the Antichrist spirit. Question. How many of you have had friends that you love and support, and that friend has come to share with you something that God has placed in their spirit? And what happens? We end up turning like Peter. No, this is not right. This is not what God told you, you know, and we start to, you know, act like Peter does. Now, how do you think your friend feels when they share from their heart, knowing that God reveals something to them, but we say, no, this is not from God? Confusion sets in, maybe rejection that stirs up strife and etc. And we become a stumbling block to others. We do this to our friends, family, children, whoever, and we miss the truth. We carry an Antichrist spirit meant to destroy the perfect will of God in our own lives and in the lives of others. It is a deceptive spirit, a deceptive system that we have to come out of agreement with. Okay. It was easy for Peter to deny Jesus at the last minute because he was carrying this Antichrist spirit. So here's how tricky this spirit can be. Peter knew through the Spirit of God, through the Spirit of God, that Jesus was the Messiah. He was the only one who answered that question when the Lord said, who do you say I am? And Jesus got so excited when Peter said, you are the Messiah, the one true living God. He said, man didn't tell you that. God told you that, right? So he knew the Spirit. He can hear the Spirit. He can understand the Spirit. Some of us as Christians, we understand this part. However, what makes us flip and say the Spirit of God is not true? The things that God shares with other people is not true. It's something inside of us that basically, I'm going to use the word buck at the Spirit of God. Okay. So, this is what happens to us as believers. If we are not 100% all in, you better believe the enemy is waiting to appear at the worst moment of our life to make God look bad. There's grace, there's mercy, but we should be learning to not do the things that are against God. Jesus is all about saving lost souls, right? He knew Peter had some issues. He knew Satan was after Peter, but yet he encouraged Peter. Luke 22:31-32 says, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has demanded permission to sift you like wheat, but I have prayed for you that your faith may not fail. And you, when once you have turned again, strengthen your brothers. Jesus didn't want to lose Peter. He loved him, right? So how many of us, when we see something wrong with our brother and sister, how many of us pray instead of reacting, instead of putting our own spin on what is going on in a person's life? We don't do that, right? It's just a nature for us to just, are you sure? I don't know about that, you know, type thing. And it really causes discouragement to that person who hears the real spirit of the Lord, right? This is the assignment of the Antichrist spirit. It's really to destroy, to kill. And this is what Satan does. Now, a falling away from Christ does not happen overnight, but it is a rather a slow process. It begins when a believer embraces doctrine, teaching, or a lifestyle that is contradictory to Christ and his word. Once a person chooses their own will and desire over Christ, deception begins to set in. The person believes a lie, and the lie becomes truth to them. Their conscience becomes seared like with a hot iron, and their mind becomes defiled. These people choose their own will over the will of God, and therefore they hear God according to the desire of their own heart. They hear the Lord tell them that their sin is okay, yet the Lord never said that to them. I remember when me and my hubby was looking for a house. Oh my gosh. Sister Barbara and my husband put up with a lot of mess because I am thinking, this is our house. God said the anointing is going to be there. Now remember, Satan can, you know, have power enough to falsify miracles and things like that, right? So make a long story short, I don't know how they dealt with me, but I had attitudes and all of this kind of crazy stuff and just, you know, going against the real spirit of God. Christopher was like, no. And I'm like, this is what God said. This is what's in my spirit. And it was a lion spirit, right? It was an Antichrist spirit. So this is how dangerous this is, because it's very sneaky. It's very deceptive, and it really plays off of your own desire. You even start to believe, well, God said he want the best for me, so this is the best. But is this what God said he wanted for you, right? So we kind of contend with God, and we kind of like, you know, buck at God and say, God, what are you doing? Okay, because you said, you know. So it's very deceptive. The deception continues to increase as the believer continues to yield to the Antichrist spirit. The believer may have started out his spiritual journey by confessing Jesus Christ came in the flesh, but when the Antichrist spirit has done its full work, the believer will deny Christ by his own deeds. And that's in Titus 1:16. Those who truly follow Christ will be discerned by their fruit, works, not their words. Does that make sense? Because we see stuff all the time, right? We see certain things, and many believers are trying to get it right. They really are. They really believe that they're trying to do the right thing. And it's really our job to really observe, listen to the voice of God to get instructions on how we should handle this particular thing with that person, right? So the Holy Spirit states that there will be people of faith, believers in Christ, who depart from the faith. In order to depart from the faith, you first must have it. The Greek word for depart also means to fall away, withdraw, and desert. The Lord couldn't be more clear in the scripture, yet some believers will glance over this scripture because it doesn't fit what they want to believe. It's so many people that actually came against the church here, came against us when we were saying that God spoke certain things over the election. And you really saw where the Antichrist spirit ruled and reigned in the church. You really saw who was really listening to the voice of God and who wasn't. And it really caused a division. And I believe that God wants to restore the body of Christ to its proper place, but we have to address these Antichrist spirits that are inside of us in order for us to move forward, right? So James 5:19-20 says, brothers, if any among you wanders from the truth and someone turns him back, let him know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his way will save a soul from death and will cover a multitude of sin. Sometimes we see a person wandering away and we attack them versus loving them. Jesus didn't do this to Peter. He said, Peter, I'm praying for you. And when you return, strengthen your brother. Aren't we supposed to be like Jesus? aren't we supposed to look and give people the grace that Jesus would give people, right? The body of Christ has learned to have a self-righteous spirit, which is also a part of the Antichrist spirit. So we have to work against this. We become accuser of the brethren, and we start to be in common with the enemy. So it's something that we have to think about. Now, salvation isn't just about being saved so we can go to heaven. It's the first step of entering into a relationship with the Lord. He desires us to move closer and closer to him until we enter into a bridal relationship of intimacy. However, we do have free will. The Lord does not control our decisions. So I'm glad that this person wrote control, because if you have a controlling spirit, you're operating under the Antichrist system. If you have a manipulating spirit, you're operating under the Antichrist system. So let's talk about the self-life. Antichrist spirits use the self-life and self-will of believers to turn them against Christ. This is why Jesus said, "Whoever desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel will save it." And that's in Mark 8:34-35. If a believer desires to save his own self-life, which is his will, his ways, time and plans and destiny, then he will lose his true life that he is called to, the high calling of having Christ live through him. Only willfully choosing to carry the cross of sufferings will enable a believer to be a true follower of Christ. We all know that it's hard for us at times to be a Christian, because people really try us, right? this is the Antichrist spirit that comes against us. And we have to be able to, what's the scripture say? Be wiser than the serpent, or yes. There you go. This is deep, y'all. This is deep. No, I'm playing. But we have to be like Jesus did. And I'm gonna tell y'all, I was driving down this morning, I was thinking about this message. And I said, if you really follow Jesus, he really rebuked the church. He had to really rebuked the church. And I was telling, an argument with the world is you Christians believe that you're better than anybody else. And I said, I just want to let you know that in Revelation, Jesus comes to the church and he says, look, y'all need to get it together. This is what I have against you, and this is what it is. So people who really believe that, certain things are a certain way in the body of Christ, it's not really. It really isn't, because God holds us more accountable. Okay. He holds us more accountable. Why? Because we should already know the things of God. And I'm not saying that we should know overnight, but as you sit before him, as you agree with the word, it's supposed to transform you from the inside out. Right. So, of course, we have opposition from the outside, but when we have it on the inside, that's a problem, because it comes out, and it comes out on the people, right? So Peter's self-will was moved by a spirit that was Antichrist when he rebuked Jesus in Matthew 16. Peter had his mind on his own will and what he desired for Jesus. How many of us have a desire for other people and we have no idea what the true desire for that person is? We just think that this is something good for them, and then we try to weave our little dots in there, and it's like, we really don't understand what God really shares with that person unless God himself reveals it to us. So this is no different than any of us. How many times have we wanted the Lord to behave or act according to our own thoughts, plans, and will? This is the house thing. I can't wait till we get a house. No, I'm playing. Torment, y'all, misery. No, I'm playing. I'm playing. The self-life was living through us in those times as it was living through Peter. Peter's self-will was being manipulated by Satan to speak something that was antichrist or anti the will of the Lord, against the Lord. The Lord's will was for Jesus to suffer, die, and be raised from the dead. And Peter's natural mind and will were opposing the Lord. The self-life of Peter had not yet been crucified. As believers, we are expected to fight against this antichrist spirit. Philippians 2, and this is the Message Bible, reads, if you've gotten anything out of the following Christ, let me say that again. If you've gotten anything at all out of following Christ, if his love has made any difference in your life, if being in a community of the Spirit means anything to you, if you have a heart, if you care, then do me a favor. Agree with each other, love each other, be deep-spirited friends. Don't push your way to the front. Don't sweet-talk your way to the top. Put yourself aside and help others get ahead. Don't be obsessed with getting your own advantage. Forget yourself long enough to lend a helping hand. This is how we should look as the body of Christ. Verse 5, think of yourself the way Christ Jesus thought of himself. He had equal status with God, but didn't think so much of himself that he had to cling to the advantages of the status no matter what. Not at all. Meaning Jesus didn't do this. It says when the time came, he set aside the privileges of deity and took on the status of a slave, became human. After becoming human, he stayed human. It was an incredibly humbling process. He didn't claim special privileges. Instead, he lived a selfless, obedient life and then died a selfless, obedient death, and the worst kind of death, at the crucifixion. Verse 9 says, because of that obedience, God lifted him high and honored him far beyond anyone or anything ever, so that all created beings in heaven and on earth, even those long ago dead and buried, will bow and worship before this Jesus Christ and call out in praise that he is the master of all, to the glorious honor of God the Father. Verse 12 says, what am I getting at, friends? It is that you should simply keep on doing what you have done or what you've been doing from the beginning. When I was living among you, you lived in responsive obedience. Now that I'm separated from you, keep it up. Now, this is the part that I want you to understand. It says, better yet, redouble your efforts. Be energetic in your life of salvation, reverent and sensitive before God. That energy is God's energy, an energy deep within you, God himself willing and working at what will give him the most pleasure. Verse 14 says, do everything readily and cheerfully. No bickering, no second guessing allowed. Go out into the world uncorrupted, pure, okay, undefiled. A breath of fresh air in this squalid and polluted society. Provide people with a glimpse of God or a glimpse of good living and of the living God. Carry the light given message into the night, so I'll have a good cause to be proud of you on the day that Christ returns. When I read this, I was thinking about Pastor Barbara. I said, she probably says this all the time about us. Like, she wants to be proud of us, right? So it says, you'll be living proof that I didn't go to all this work for nothing. Now, in closing, Romans 12, 1-2 says, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. To be a living sacrifice means to live every minute of every day as an offering and service to the Lord. It radically goes against our culture of self-promotion and making our own dreams come true. It means laying down our own ambitions, dreams, gifts, and fears, and telling God, do whatever you want with me. I am your servant. So I wanted to get this out to you all this morning because we really don't understand that we really are battling an antichrist spirit from in the world and in the church, in this church here. At times we agree with this antichrist spirit because of the behavior, the mindsets, and we have to unlearn some things. So, you know, this is what God really pressed in my spirit over the past week and a half, that we know that the antichrist spirit is going to be working and operating in the world, but we don't necessarily take it for truth here. So there are some things that God wants to do. So, Father, we just give you glory and honor. We give you praise. We thank you for this message of the antichrist spirit. Father, I pray that you will continue to touch your children's heart. I pray that you will stir up whatever is inside of your children for this antichrist spirit or system, any spirit that is not of you. I pray that you will stir it up so they can deal with it and give it to you. Father, we know that you are calling the harvest in. You know, we know that you are doing miraculous works. And I believe, Father, that you have placed it in my spirit to say this is almost like the last piece that we have to acknowledge. We have to acknowledge our behavior and mindsets and certain things that this antichrist spirit is tied to. So, Father, move amongst your people. Touch them in the deepest way. Touch their minds, Father. Touch their hearts. Thank you, Father. You know, if you have a religious spirit, that spirit, this is what I said earlier, that Jesus rebuked the church because they had a religious spirit. They didn't want the spirit of God. They wanted to know the knowledge, or they wanted to stay in the knowledge of what they have heard, and they missed the Lord. If you have a religious spirit, and here's the crazy part. When you have a religious spirit, you don't know that you have a religious spirit. But I would suggest for you all to just sit there privately and just ask God, is there anything inside of me that would hinder my relationship with you, would hinder my walk? And I can guarantee you the antichrist spirit is going to be present, because it's any spirit that's against God. So, thank you. You know, this spirit is strong because it's super deceptive. If y'all want to come up to the altar to get a touch from the Lord, you can. The altar is open.